tell you, it is always a joy and a pleasure to gather at any given time to worship.
I don't know that.
Is this the one you primarily use?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. What a blessing to gather in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night it is it? You ever wake up in the middle of the night and go, Lord, I know you want me here for some reason or another to be awake. And I know God calls each of us, no matter when it is. We have our call to worship, which is hymn 367, Come to the Church in the Wildwood. I have to tell you, this is one of my all-time favorites. It's homecoming favorite no matter what part of Bath County you go to. And it's a little white church in the Wildwood, because that's who we are, isn't it? We are made holy and washed in the blood as we live in the Wildwood. So, as you are able, please feel free to stand as you would like. Church in the Wildwood. And now you got to tell me which one am I looking for.
The smaller one. This one.
Okay. Thank you. 367. Anybody want to start us off?
There's a church in the valley by the Wildwood. No lovelier spot in the vale. No place is so dear to my childhood as the little round church in the vale.
Oh, come
to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little round church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood, to the trees where the wildflowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted, we will weep by the side of the tomb.
Oh, come
to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little round church in the vale. How sweet on a clear Sunday morning to list to the clear ringing bell. Its tones so sweetly are calling, oh, come to the church in the vale.
Oh, come
to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. From the church in the valley by the wildwood, when day fades away into night, I would fain from the spot of my childhood wing my way to the mansions of light.
Oh, come
to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little round church in the vale.
Let us pray. Well, Father God, we come to you this afternoon of the church in the vale, the church in the wildwood, the church, Lord God, whose heart overflows with love for you. Lord God, may it be your spirit that leads and guides us as we tune in and trust you for the journey of faith as we gather with one, as one in Christ. In your holy Son's name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen. So what songs would you like to sing? Yes, ma'am.
In the Garden, all four verses.
I love it. Thank you. And what number?
428.
Yes. 428.
Well, there's only three verses.
Three. That's
it's
fine.
Four on
right. I was going to say, let's be creative, right? All righty. Anyone want to start us off? And thank you for starting it off, because every group has a different tone that they like to sing at, and that's helpful for me to know that. Well, there you go. Let's go. It's good.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Thank you. What else? Yes, ma'am.
47, Amazing Grace, the first Ooh. And last.
Oh, praise God. First and last, 47.
487.
487. Thank you, ma'am. 487. Oh, you all are going to, God's bringing started writing a story already. Wait till you see how this one plays out. 487. Here. another hymn. Another song.
293, God will take care of you.
Amen. 293.
First and last.
Pardon, 293.
Oh, 293.
Yes, ma'am. I know, I'm trying to remember how it goes. Be not dismayed. God will take care. Do you want to just do the chorus a couple times? Since you're more familiar with that?
I know it goes.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning grace eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder over there, when the roll shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Master, from the dawn shall setting sun, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. Do you all have another one? I could sing all afternoon if you'd like.
I'd like to do a patriotic song, please.
That would be awesome. Yes. 350, we can do it.
I think.
350. My soul be on thy guard.
Which one is it? 450. My soul is inside. What is it? 455.
My country tis of thee. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. 450. Yes, ma'am. You know, this is a good song to sing, especially on this day on 9/11. I was only an hour and a half away from Washington, D.C. when the plane crashed into the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And yeah, there that was really a traumatic experience for us. Immediately, the helicopters were sent over the school that I was teaching at the time, because we were right next to the mountain, which was where the president was to escape to in times of attack. So, this is a good one to sing. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful, or spacious skies, or amber waves of grain, or purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassioned stress of thoroughfare for freedom be across the wilderness. America, America, God shed thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful, for heroes grew in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life.
This morning, as we look to where God leads and guides us in this day, what would you lift up to the Lord as a prayer request? Yes, ma'am. Blessing that you all can continue to do that. Yeah, I almost feel like it's like a coming out party now that we've gotten this passed through the worst part of COVID anyway. So this is a blessing. Praise God for the hymn sing. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Sorry about getting all upset about that song. I want to tell you a little bit about 911 and my son. First of all, Michael's birthday is today, 31 years old. I can't believe my baby's that old. My middle boy, Patrick, some of you knew him, some of you didn't. when 9/11 hit, they were asking for help. So four of the guys, including myself, Patrick, went down to New York to help. He called me as he's getting down there. And they get down there, and he calls me. He's quiet. He said, wouldn't ever believe this destruction. It's not what you see on TV. And he just quiet and quiet and quiet. I want to go through the phone to hug him. I went down to New York. So we got off the phone, and he came home 4 days later. The one that you see in front of the cross is from the Twin Towers. It has faded some, but it had blood on it. So he bought that back for me. But he said the destruction was, I wouldn't want any of that to ever happen to any of us. You know, and he said just the smell was unbelievable. But he was happy to get back to Maine, and he hopes it never happens again.
Amen. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I just want to give praise that this church continues to operate.
Amen.
It's near and dear to a lot of us here.
Where two or more are gathered in his name, there is he too among you. Praise the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Queen Elizabeth's family. I would also ask that you keep in prayer the family of Clyde Barker, who will be laid to rest Friday. He passed away last Sunday, the 4th. Anyone else? Alrighty. Let us lift all of this up to the Lord. His shoulders are wide and broad, and he knows the deepest depths of our hearts. Let us give them to the Lord. Father God, we hear the rhythm of the clock. We feel the beat of our hearts. And we know that, God, with every tick, with every beat, Lord God, you are our God. And we claim you as ours, the great Jehovah. Lord Jesus, as we come to you this morning, we come with always the hope that you have promised us. Trusting, Lord God, that even in the unspoken, Lord God, you know the whispers of our hearts. And we ask that you speak to those needs. We praise you and thank you, Father God, that even as we offer our hearts to you, that, Lord, you know the depths of it and our hopes for this church always to continue to thrive and to be, Lord God, the church that you have created it to be from the very beginning. A church that loves you. The church that honors and worships you, Lord God, praising your holy name with the depths of gratitude for all that you've created within it and within each of us. Lord God, as we remember a day long past, so it seems in one regard it is ever so near and not a distant memory, but one that we remember, yes, with pain, as we remember the blood that was shed on that day. We look to you, Lord God, in this blood that was shed by your Son, Jesus Christ, for you gave all, even for that day. And we honor you and praise you and thank you for what you did. And in it, through it, Lord God, you blessed this nation by pulling it together at that time. People near and far, turning and falling on their knees. How I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will continue to fall on our knees and not be divisive, that we will continue to work together, be bound together, one in Jesus Christ. How I pray, Lord God, that your spirit may reign within this church in the hearts of all those who have gathered. We worship you and we praise you. We also pray, Lord God, for families who are grieving, those who have lost loved ones. Sometimes the journey to that ultimate moment was long and tiring, Lord God, so I pray that you will freshen the souls of each family member. Comfort them, guide them, that they may find the peace that is theirs, as you have promised. We pray you in every event that is to take place, and nothing but you. Lord, thank you for the hymn sing that is about to take place this evening. And we pray, Lord God, that as the voices lift to the rafters, that hearts and spirits may be filled. We thank you for the celebration of a son's birthday. We thank you for the gift of the sunshine in this day, and the gift of your love that continues to shine in our hearts. Every time we pray in one accord, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Surely the presence, this is your next song.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
As you have had the opportunity already, I assume, to place your offering in the basket, or you may place it there on your way as you exit. Please know that your gift of heart is just as important as the gift of money. So let us offer up a prayer of thanks and praise for the gifts which God has blessed us with, and we offer back to Him. Let us pray. O wonderful and holy God, you are a mighty God who's provided in abundance for the richness of life with you. So, Lord God, we offer back to you this precious gift of love, thanking you, praising you, asking you to multiply it and use it for your kingdom glory. All this we pray in your precious Son's name. And all God's people say, Amen. Praise God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Listen to your voices. God bless you. Yes, ma'am.
Could you also say a prayer for Margaret Huff? A lot of people in here probably know her. She's been a teacher for years in Phillips.
Yes.
She's going to have surgery on her knee. Mm-hmm. So coming on Wednesday to keep her in your prayers.
Yes, indeed. Well, let us offer up that prayer now. Gracious and holy God, God of knees that hurt hearts that ache. Lord God, I pray that you will wrap your loving hands around that knee to release it from the pain. I pray, Lord God, nothing but your spirit before, during, and after this surgery. Your spirit that fills the hearts and mind of every surgeon and nurse that cares for her. For every room that she enters, each space filled with nothing but you. May it be your wisdom, your hand, your love that heals and delivers her in heart, body, soul, mind, and spirit to a brand new day of wholeness and health. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Claudia. So we have a scripture reading, Acts 9, verses 1 through 20.
Today's reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 20, and I'm reading from the Revised Standard Edition. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he journeyed, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed out at him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he's seen a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon thy name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized and took food and was strengthened. For several days he was with the disciples at Damascus. And in the synagogues immediately he proclaimed Jesus, saying, "He is the Son of God." Amen.
This is a word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, illuminate, light every word. Impress it upon our hearts, and may it take deep root within our being, that your light may shine not just in this place, but in the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. How many of you have ever been through a tunnel before? So somewhere on an interstate. Yeah. Have you ever been through a tunnel that goes right through the mountain? Yeah, Pennsylvania Turnpike. We went through the mountain one time, yeah, and you get to the other side, and it could be totally different weather. You just never know. We did that one Thanksgiving when I was a child, and it was okay. It was really cold, let's face it. Got to the other side, and it was snowing, and the traffic was bumper to bumper. Everybody was going home for the holidays, right? That was one experience. What is a tunnel like when you go into it? Yeah, it is very dark. Now, they'll put lights on the sides of the walls, right? And you can see, and you still have your headlights on. They tell you to make sure you put your headlights on.
Yeah.
But you can still see, right? And you get to the other side, and it can be very different. Do you, at what point do you see the light and begin to see? What does the light look like when you get to a certain point as you're going through the tunnel?
Very small.
Yeah. It's almost like a pinpoint, isn't it? You know, oh, well, maybe I'm getting to it. But as a child, my first experience of that, I'm like, is this the Twilight Zone? And then you go a little bit further, and what happens to the light?
It gets bigger.
It gets bigger and bigger as you get closer to the exit, and you go out into the fullness of the day. But sometimes it's a night, but you still have light. You can still see that it's the end of the tunnel. Has anyone ever been in a tunnel that goes under the water? Yes. Chesapeake Bay in Virginia is exactly like that when you cross over into North Carolina. And you're stride long, you see the water on either side, the next thing you know is you're underneath, you know, and it's nothing but a tunnel. But it's the same experience, and it has a different kind of path. It's not straight across like it would be in the mountain or even slightly sloped up, but it goes down and deeper to go under the water, right? So you get to the same thing, though. All of a sudden, you begin to see this little pinhole of light, and it gets bigger and bigger. It doesn't matter whether you're under the water or going through the mountain. The experience is the same. What kind of dark places do we find ourselves in sometimes as we journey through life that remind us of going through a tunnel? Yes, absolutely, definitely. So it's all a bed of roses, right? Oh, you're laughing. So there must be something else that is out there. How about getting through the teen years with your children? Did that seem like a tunnel at times? Or even certain levels of the grade levels in class, you know, or certain points in the year, it can be a real challenge. And you wonder how in the world. But you get to closer to the end of the school year and you go, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And you love them all just the same. But there are certain challenges you encounter. And truly, I liken that to the school year because life is very much like that from beginning to end. There are different points where, don't you think it was a challenge? Having your son that far away, New York City, at a time that was extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very bad. Yeah.
It was funny after 9, not funny, but it's interesting that after 9/11, I never really totally felt safe and secure in that area any longer because we were a suitcase community for Washington, D.C. Interestingly enough, though, my grandfather passed not long after that, and I was on the road traveling from Virginia to Maine. On the way back, we stopped at a place that's called Lord's Valley in New York's, well, it's in Pennsylvania, 84. Mm-hmm. And we pulled in, and there was a car that pulled up directly beside me, and inside it was a Muslim man. I know he was a Muslim because of his turban, right? So he gets out of the car, he goes in, Brad has gone in to get his cup of coffee and go to the restroom, my husband, and I'm looking at the car and I'm like, that registration's dead. I wonder if he really realizes that. And then, of course, your mind can travel and you wonder, but you really got to stay focused. Where does Jesus want us to look? See that person for who he is and not for what? The heart, not for who we think he might be, right? Somebody trying to run and escape the city. So we have to be real careful very careful to not walk down a dark tunnel that really is not in keeping with God's light.
How many of you have heard the song that Hank Williams wrote, I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more light. Yes, I lived in the South for a long time. Now I'm so happy. And so that reminds me, because he went through some pretty dark periods in his own life. And we know that alcoholism eventually, as well as drugs, took his life. The light of God's holy light is key to who we become and who we are in the journey of faith, no matter where life takes us. And we're finding that very true for Paul on the Damascus Road, aren't we? Isn't it amazing? Here's a Pharisee who knows the letter of the law inside and out. He's out to persecute those people who believe in Jesus Christ, these Christians who have come to believe him. Jesus is already dead. He's risen. He's no longer with them. And these Christians keep on talking about him. And he's out to get them. He is angry. He is mad. He is on this road, and he's going to make sure they know it. And he's going to have them thrown into jail and have them persecuted just as well. But who does Paul encounter on the Damascus Road? That bright light, who is that? That is Christ. Christ himself, who comes into his heart, illuminates it and helps him to see with a certainty of who that is. Because I love it. What does Paul do? As soon as he encounters that light, he responds to that light immediately. Is that you, Lord? And he's blinded. He can no longer see in the same way. But as he is blinded, my friends, he comes to a point, a truth and an understanding of Jesus' way. Paul is converted to Jesus, not from one religion to another. This becomes very evident. Paul sees for himself that Jesus truly is alive. There's no longer hearsay or word. He knows it for a fact. Paul does not choose Jesus because of the persuasive pressure or preacher that has come into his life and said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. He meets him on a dark road, a dark place in his very own life. And that light illuminates what God has been waiting for him to receive all his life. He wasn't aware of it, but he discovered that on the Damascus Road. Jesus is not dead, but ever the living Jesus, the Son of God, speaking and caring for Paul in the very way he needs to see and hear it. Paul sees Jesus for himself without relying on secondhand information, which he didn't trust to start with. Please know that Jesus comes to Paul in the only way Paul and his vibrant personality would ever receive it. God meets us, Jesus meets us where we are, that we may come to believe and trust him even in the tunnels of life, those dark places, and brings light, hope, promise, and faith deeper than anything we could ever imagine. You see, Paul would have understood that light, for he knew well the scriptures of the Old Testament. He knew that Moses met God in that light, that burning fire on the mountain. Paul would immediately understand this connection as a Pharisee. However, Paul heard the voice of Jesus himself and knew immediately that it was the Lord. Secondly, Paul in this particular passage is changed because of this glorious light, because of that encounter with the living Jesus. Paul charges to Damascus with the authority to persecute the followers of what they've called the way, those who follow Jesus. Paul was on a mission to destroy. Paul was the one who must depend on others now rather than leading a charge against others. Because in his blindness, can he take a move from where he is to the next place? He's on the road. He hasn't gotten there. I hope I don't fall over the edge. Yeah. Paul is the one who must let others lead and guide. and now with the fullness of God's light that has blinded him. His heart, soul, and mind is now open to receiving Jesus, the love of Christ into his heart. Paul finds himself being led to the city helpless rather than dictating to others what they must do. Doesn't that happen for us sometimes in the dark places? We have to surrender and let go. Paul discovers that in his weakness, he must seek the help of others who are believers in Christ, others who are obedient to the very will of God, others who, despite their dread of who he is, because they knew all about Paul ahead of time, help him. They help him in the way God calls them to do so. Thirdly, Paul experiences a conversion. Conversion is the means to a missionary end. It has to take place right before it can happen. God guides Paul in his belief to empower him for a mission, a calling to preach. He's being called to preach to the Gentiles, to generations that came before us, to share the good news of Jesus Christ that others may know. Paul, a pious, but a very faithful, loyal Jew devoted to God, becomes now a teacher to the Gentiles and the Jewish communities. As he continues his journey, not following the letter of the law, but the letter of Christ's love in his heart after his conversion. His journey, my friends, with God as a believer in Jesus Christ, spread the word near far. I mean, goodness, well, he's got a lot of letters here in this New Testament, and it composes the majority of it after the Gospels. He is not considered one of the original 12 disciples, but he is nevertheless an apostle who has encountered Christ. And he claims that he is an apostle just like the original 12 because of that encounter and Christ calling him to follow and walk with him in that conversion moment. Paul's conversion brings him into conflict with authorities now. He can no longer be the one who goes and seeks the people of the way because he is part of the way. He journeys with others, meeting them where they are in their truth and understanding. If Paul were a lawyer today, he would win every case because he can argue the cases backwards, forwards, and sideways to help us believe and understand based on where we are in our truth and understanding of Jesus. He is an adversary of the enemy. He is the one who believes in Jesus Christ and speaks the truth with wisdom. Conversion prepares us for concrete tasks in the service of the Lord, and we become a light that is no longer hidden, but a beacon of light on a hill. Amen. A city on a hill that shines brightly, that all may see and know who we are. Your efforts to keep this church going is a light in this particular veil, Church in the Wildwood. You become a beacon of light that speaks the truth, a beacon of life that shares the love of God with those folks within this community. Hallelujah. We're not left to our own devices to wander in the darkness, but become a light in the midst of it. We are called to love God and love neighbor. We are called to walk as Jesus did, extending a hand to those who wish to persecute us, those who would love to quiet God's voice through us, for God's words may oppose some of the ideals that come with living in this world. That's part of the reality of where we are. I'm sorry. But we can, with confidence, then forge ahead, sharing that love in the ways that are in keeping with God's will. I have to tell you, there are times where it's been truly a challenge to share that love of God with others, because I have served in my entire ministry with rural communities in the mountains, in the valleys of different places in Virginia, and now back home, finally to Maine. I can tell you of walking, driving across the bridge and encountering three gentlemen with rifles in their hands because they didn't want me to be nearby. I went in to visit with a gentleman that I went to visit with, because once they found out what my mission was, they were okay with that. But when you get near a meth lab, let me tell you, they're not going to welcome anybody. But that is where the world is, my friends. And I don't say that to put fear and trembling in you, but I want you to know that even those folks, and even some really challenging, ferocious dogs, God quells their spirits. And you are then able to share the love of God with others. So don't fear and tremble. Continue to do what you're doing. Continue to share with Christ where you are. I had one church member say to me one time, they were going to Walmart, and this was back at the beginning of COVID, and they had their mask on, and they went into the store, and they were being criticized and put down by people that were nearby. Well, I don't know what you need a mask for. And she began to be really afraid. But you know what she did? She kept on trucking. And who puts the hedge of protection around us no matter where we are? God. God was preparing Paul to live in the world but not be of it. He was preparing Paul to share the good news with other people around him. To share it because he knew the word. He knew it backwards, forward, sideways. He knew the word so well. He was a perfect choice. And he had a passion and a purpose that was tremendous. I mean, he's going down the Damascus Road in a rage, right? He's going to go get these people. And now what God has done is used that passion and purpose for his glory. And when God gets us by the tail, you just never know what he's going to do. And you, my friends, confident in the word and the love of God, can move mountains. Isn't that what faith is all about? It is not us. It is God at work in and through us, just as God was at work in and through Paul. And he found that out on the Damascus Road. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Some may find the blood repulsive, but it is the blood of Jesus that redeems, forgives, helps, and us find peace and reconciliation with the God and one another. And God is glorified. Daily, we're called, my friends, to surrender the pressures, distractions, and things of this world that can keep us from walking with Jesus. Trust God. We're called to pray and ask God to remove the scales from our eyes, just as God removed them from Paul's eyes, that we may see and understand who the risen God is, the risen Christ who journeys with us as the light in the world. I want to ask you, as we look at this particular passage, Paul wasn't the only one who was changed. Who was also changed? Yeah, Ananias. And I love it because he's already a believer. So I don't want us to think that just because Paul was of the faith, he already loved God, but he's being transformed and changed, but now in a new direction. And sometimes that happens for we as Christians who believe in Jesus already. But Ananias already believed in Jesus. And he's being asked to do something really crazy. He's got to go and pray with this crazy Paul who was found on the Damascus Road blind. Paul's identity and his reputation has already preceded him, because Ananias is going, "You want me to do what?" But what does Ananias do? He believes. He already trusts God enough to go and do just exactly what God has asked him to do. He goes and he prays with Paul, and what happens? Now there's not just Paul, there's Ananias and Paul who become united in a mission and ministry to glorify God. They become brothers in Christ. And kingdom glory grows and grows. They join together, and this is what I want to point out too, especially for us in our present day. They grow together, leaving their judgments behind. How many of us at different times are we hear of other people that make these passing judgments on others and don't really see the full potential or see that human being with God's heart? That's what Ananias did. And that's what Paul was doing when he talked about the Christians. And God brings them together as one. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together to become witnesses and soldiers of the cross. I want to share something, a little story that goes like this. John Newton also had a conversion experience on the high seas with walls of water that were tossing the slave ship back and forth. I don't know if I'd ever want to be on that kind of a ship. It was just like a toy bobbing in, you know, the bathtub water. John Newton's religious training was instilled by his mother from the time he was just a wee little itty-bitty fella until her passing when he was just 7 years old. And from that time, John went from private schools, then aboard a ship with his father, until he became the captain of his own ship, a slave ship. His manner of living was far from an exemplary life as a Christian, choosing paths of sin not fitting to his mother's intentions for him or God's. Yet aboard that slave ship, tossed about by the raging seas, he found himself seeking God's intervention. And this led him to reading a book written by Thomas A. Kempis entitled Invitation to Christ. Well, soon after John left the slave ships that he despised, and he became the minister for which his mother trained him. Anybody ever heard of the name John Newton before? Yes. Who is he? Tell us.
Amazing Grace.
So when you chose that one, I was like, praise God, you're going to bring this one full circle. Yeah, he wrote Amazing Grace. And later, his efforts abolished the slave trade. He found to the answer to the question, Lord, what would you have me to do? He was converted, and he became a light in the darkness. Yes, that tunnel from his life was behind him. Doesn't mean he didn't continue to work and share the word of God with others, because he did. So please understand that your life really begins with the encounter with Jesus, and it continues. Even though you are a believer and you're in this place and at this time, your journey of faith continues with Christ. It does not end. And do you want to know the truth? Even when we leave this world, it never ends either. It continues. For God gives us life and breath. He gives us the light to continue to walk through the darkness of life. So continue to trust him, my friends. Walk with him. I saw the light. I pray we all see the light as we continue the journey of faith. Let us give thanks to God. Gracious and wonderful God, thank you for the wonderful gift of your light that shines in our hearts this afternoon, and for the hope and promise that is ours as we trust you in the journey of faith. So may we, Lord God, with confidence let our light shine. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Do we sing? This Little Light of Mine. It's in the Methodist hymnal 585. Now we can show our lights, guys. I don't know if you know that, but you got your little light right here. We can just visually show it and let it shine. 585.
Everybody
in the Are you ready?
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere. tonight. I'm gonna let it shine all through the night. I'm gonna let it shine all through the night. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hallelujah.
I couldn't resist, sorry. So, my friends, go with God's light shining in your hearts back into the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.